Hello, and welcome to episode 50 of Grace in Progress. My name is Brianna Leach. I'm a wife, a mom of three, and a licensed counselor who really enjoys tater tots from Sonic and camping with my family. And I firmly believe that if you woke up this morning, then you have a purpose. If you are new to this podcast, welcome. I am so glad you're here, taking a little bit of time to invest in yourself more. And if you've been listening for a while, or you're binge listening multiple episodes at a time, welcome back. We're going to jump right in today. Hard to believe this is episode 50, but here we are. And this is part two of a series about trigger warning. So we talked about triggers last week in part one, which was identifying your triggers. Today, I'm going to introduce a tool to you to help you process those triggers, or sometimes even work backwards to identify them a bit more. So if you haven't listened to episode 49, maybe you're new here and you're just jumping in, I would recommend you pause this episode, go back an episode to episode 49, and listen to that first so you have a better understanding of what I'm even talking about with triggers. What does that look like? What does that mean? Why is it important that we know what those are before we jump into more of the application in this episode? All right, so if you've made it this far, then you're ready to process those triggers. Hopefully last week, or whenever you listened to the last episode, you took a moment out of your day, out of your week, and identified some triggers in your daily life, whether it be something really large and a continual trigger, or something small that just kind of was unsettling and you didn't like the emotions that it evoked. Validating those triggers in your life, whether you know how to process them or not, or even know their source, it's important for your mental health. You are giving a nod to your body, to your brain, for alerting something in you. And the more you do that, the more your self-awareness increases, the more your emotional awareness is sharpened. And it may not seem like a big deal at the time, but it really adds up to your overall well-being. So you have these triggers. What do you do with them? I'm going to teach you a little tool. And honestly, I'm surprised it took me 50 episodes to get to this, but it's a tool that I use all the time for myself and especially with children. It's called TATER. TATER. So at the beginning, when I said I love tater tots from Sonic, you can tell what was already on my mind. So when you have a trigger, I want your first thought to be tater tot. If you don't like tater tots, I'm sorry. Just run with it. Let me break it down. The first T stands for trigger. AT, the next two letters, stands for automatic thought. The E is emotion. And the R is response. So believe it or not, all of this happens within about 5 seconds. When there's a trigger, you have an automatic thought. It evokes an emotion, and then it typically evokes a response or a behavior. Sometimes we jump to the ER with ourselves, and maybe we feel the emotion and see the response, but we don't always take the time to back up and figure out what the trigger was and what the automatic thought was. This is a tool, I honestly don't even know who first originated it. I've used it. I learned it when I worked at a psychiatric hospital with kids. I've used it in in-home counseling, and I've used it for myself and my kids pretty much weekly. It's classic CBT, which stands for cognitive behavioral therapy. Basically, change the way you think, change the way you act. So we're going to use this acronym to help you process anytime you have a trigger. For example, if you feel sad or feel defeated after scrolling through social media for a while, let's break that down a little bit more. The trigger would be looking at photos of other people's everyday lives or their family or their perfectly matched home, wardrobe, whatever. What is the automatic thought? Maybe your automatic thought when you see that photo is, ugh, I'm never going to have that. Or, ugh, I wish my family would do that too. Or I wish my house looked like that. It's important to figure out what your automatic thought is after that trigger. I talked about it last week. Regardless of the intent of the other person. That person posting didn't mean to trigger you, but it did. And so just acknowledging that it's a trigger, what is the first thing that pops in my head? Because that's what's going to evoke the next step, which is the emotion. So if you think, I'm never going to have that, the emotion might be jealousy. The emotion might be grief. The emotion might be annoyance, or you fill in the blank. Because after the emotion is the response. Do you keep scrolling as fast as you can? So avoidance. Do you maybe audibly sigh out of annoyance or jealousy or discontentment? Regardless, all of this happens at a very fast pace. This isn't something that's drawn out over minutes or hours. This is something that happens within a few seconds. And it happens multiple times a day. So when we take the time and gift to ourselves the self-awareness of knowing what's going on in the moment, it can be very powerful. So once you've identified T-A-T-E-R, trigger, automatic thought, emotion, response, let's go back up into it and make edits as needed. Can't always change the trigger. So that's there. The photo pops up. Automatic thought. We can change that. If jealousy pops up, you can replace it with, good for them. That's really cute. I'm thankful for XYZ in my life. Then the emotion can be apathy, maybe no response. It can be contentment of, they have that, I have this. You see the pattern here. And then the response could just be continued scrolling, could be genuinely liking their post or commenting a note of congratulations or something positive. But just altering one variable in that acronym can have a ripple effect on the rest of it. Let's do another example from a parenting perspective. So I know a common trigger in my household is I feel really frustrated and angry when my kids are moving slowly and we're trying to get out the door. So the trigger would be that a sloth could get their shoes on faster than my six-year-old. And my automatic thought is, we're going to be late. It's going to make me look bad to other people. Honestly, that's usually my automatic thought. It's not, I'm bummed we're going to be late. It's, how is this going to reflect on me and my family? Just being real here. So my emotion is stress. My blood pressure goes up. My reaction is raising my voice or rushing my children, which I absolutely hate to do because I myself don't like being rushed. So it creates this perfect storm in a matter of seconds just because my six-year-old isn't getting his shoes on quickly. Now, rewind that a little bit. The trigger is him not getting his shoes on quickly. My automatic thought could be, my job is to train him as a human. We should be prepping more, getting ready out the door earlier, whatever. But for me to extend a little bit of grace in that moment of, he's six, he's doing the best he can. If I take a deep breath, this will pass. And it would probably go faster if I don't freak out than if I get in a tizzy, as you could say. So my emotion is self-regulation. I can still be stressed, but I take a deep breath. And then my response is tying the other shoe for him. So it goes faster. But if you see, if you can go back up, change that automatic thought, or put a little more prep into it and use some coping skills, the emotions and the automatic thoughts won't always be regulated, but you can cope with them differently by taking a moment to try to alter them, to try to respond in a different way. But noticing how quickly it all happens and being honest with yourself on those automatic thoughts is the only way you're going to impact change. Okay, I want to do one more, but I want to show you the power of using this tool with your children. I can't tell you how many times I've used this acronym with especially ages probably six and up. I think younger kids aren't always as aware. If you have a very emotionally aware 4 or 5-year-old, then go for it. But sometimes they aren't able to reflect on a situation after it's happened. They are more a flash in the pan emotionally and cognitively, and that's okay. But as they get a little bit older, you can process, you can work backwards with them, because as adults, sometimes we can go through it chronologically or in the order that I gave it to you. But if you've spent much time with kids, they aren't always that self-aware. So it's our job to teach them. Often as adults, as the parents, as the caregivers, as the teachers, whatever role you have with children, we often see the R, for sure, the response. Sometimes we get to see the E, the emotion as well. What we don't see behind the scenes is the T or the AT. We don't know what the trigger is. We don't know what they're thinking. So to help them sit down and work backwards, hey, I saw you hit your friend. I saw you get upset and kind of clench your fists, and then you hit your friend. Let's rewind a little bit and tell me about what happened. Did they say something? What did you say in your mind? You know, I've had situations where I'm working with a teenager and their family, and I've had a girl, you know, storm out of the room, and I bring her back in, or I meet her out in the hallway, and we kind of go through this of, hey, you seemed upset or sad and you walked out. So let's work backwards. So, you know, what was said or what topic was brought up and what were you telling yourself? And maybe it was the adult saying, she just does this over and over and we don't know what to do. And in her mind, she's telling herself, they're never going to listen. They don't trust me. This is pointless. And so we only see the frustration and walking out. But by identifying that as a counselor, I'm able to dive in a little bit more with the family. As a parent, you have much more insight into the dialogue that's happening in your child's brain. And then on their end, they're able to have more emotional vocabulary and able to pinpoint what's causing some of the behavior or the strong emotions that they may not be comfortable with. I'll create a graphic and post it this week so that you can reference this as much as you need to for yourself, for someone else, for your child. And if you have any questions or need more clarification on this tool, I'm happy to give it at any point. You can reach me at briannaleach.com or on social media. It's at Brianna Leach LPC. From now on, if you order tater tots at Sonic, you're going to start processing your feelings, and I'm excited about that. But I hope that identifying your triggers, processing them for yourself and for your family will be beneficial to you overall. If this episode was helpful to you in any way, or you think of someone else that might want to hear this, please do me a favor and share on social media or email it, whatever you can do to get the word out a bit more. My heart is that these kind of resources and counseling tools are available to as many people as possible. There's no reason to keep them to myself or only behind closed doors of counseling. These are tools we need to be using on a daily basis. And as always, you've got this, and I am cheering you on. Thanks so much for listening.